that right. Good morning. It's good to have you with us today. Say welcome to the community of faith family all around the world. It's always good to have you with us here. It's a beautiful Sunday morning in North Dakota. And, really
your
beautiful.
Show now, press 1 to hear important instructions.
Your show is scheduled to start in 11 minutes 52 seconds.
Well, now that's a good idea. All right. So, what about my title is not allowed today?
Huh. 11 minutes until showtime.
Seconds. Isn't that something?
What?
Hey, Harmony, it's good to see you, girl.
Harmony's here, hi.
Yes, we were just talking about you this morning.
It's good to see you, girl.
Harmony's here,
okay,
hi.
Turn down all the volumes and make it work right. Isn't that just something? My computer, listen to this. My computer tells me I am not connected to Facebook. That I have to try again. And if I hit the refresh button, you know what it's going to do?
Shut everything
off. It's going to shut everything off.
I'm still connected to Facebook.
So, and this is connected, and Harmony's obviously connected. Welcome. It's good to have you with us.
It is good to have you with us, Harmony.
10 minutes until showtime.
We got 10 minutes.
Why is that? Oh, before it starts on Blog Talk.
Everybody just kick back and take it easy. It's going to be, there's a good countdown getting ready to happen. You'll be like, oh no, 10 minutes, what's happening? The rapture in 10 minutes, get ready.
Hallelujah.
Everybody get up, do some stretches. That was rapture practice. So we have Leanne Marie Cottle with us, and we have Harmony Leanne Ford with us. Hallelujah. All right. Now do we have a...
There we go.
There we go.
Oh, look.
Okay, turn something off somewhere.
It's you, isn't it?
9 minutes until showtime.
It's your microphone.
Got it. Okay, now, oh look, Dan. Dan on Zoom.
Dan is on Zoom. Kathy Marie Angaroni's with us. Welcome,
hi, Kathy.
Now, for those of you that are with us today, I'm not in a mysterious mode where you can't see my face and hiding from everyone. It's just the lighting just doesn't work in this place because we got so much windows. It's beautiful. I love this room. This room's amazing. But literally all of the walls are glass, and they reflect.
Yes.
And so my camera catches all that, and I know the last time we were here I said, well, I just got to bring my light. But Jesus is my light, and he lives within me.
Did you bring it?
I'm just having trouble to get him to make my face glow, that's all.
Until showtime.
Those of you that haven't had a wonderful breakfast yet, I recommend Hardee's for breakfast on Sunday.
Yeah, it's really good.
They got biscuits and gravy here, and they have a Hardee's platter that is out of this world.
Is there still Hardee's in Michigan? I don't think they have Hardee's anymore. I'm not mistaken.
Can I have a drink of your cold liquid?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. I actually said please, even though it didn't get out all the way. So, good morning. How's things in Michigan, Harmony? We've been praying for you and your family and blessing you in Jesus' mighty name, blessing the works of your hands. And
7 minutes until showtime.
You got a countdown. 7 minutes and the rapture is going to happen.
Are you doing YouTube?
No man knows the day or the hour except Blog Talk Radio. 7 minutes. Something's going to go on in 7 minutes. I'm probably supposed to be during this time sending shares, but not Sunny. We're just going to send share today, not Sunny. That was a really good one. I'm telling you, that one was so good. That I don't usually get them that easy. But welcome to Get Them Easy this morning. Hallelujah. So, go ahead. You talking, Dan? What was that?
Ha, 6 minutes until showtime.
Huh. That's interesting.
What's interesting?
I just saw a really big, deep picture. Did it look like it? Wow. Wow. I just need to share this post saying we're going to be here in the Bakken Fail of the Day at about 10 a.m. on a Sunday. And any of them oil field folks that ain't working, be like, well, let's
Five
go hang out with a preacher.
Yeah. Until showtime.
That's pretty cool. This place will be filled with some of the strangest looking oil field people you ever saw. But they're all good folk.
Yep.
Amen. Mary Pastor Rick's with us.
Mary Pastor Rick.
Sister Leanne is with us.
Sister Leanne.
And a good Hardy's breakfast is with us.
It was really good.
It is
it
good.
It was really good.
Not bad.
You guys all had a wonderful breakfast too.
Not bad for fast food.
Fast food, yeah.
Now, once again, we're at Hardy's, and so as of yet, I haven't completely mastered what happens with the internet. And I want to say this about this restaurant here.
10 minutes until showtime.
In Williston, you know. I should share, because I posted that on my Facebook page. I should share the link right there in that post.
That would be good. Yeah, and then I copy and repost it on mine.
Anyways, I want to give props to these guys here. I mean, I'm sure they view us as just another organization coming and using their room, which is why they made these rooms, and that's okay. My point about these people here in this restaurant, they are very welcoming people.
Yeah, very nice atmosphere.
Very friendly, nice atmosphere. And I stopped here yesterday as we were door dashing and said, hey, can I use the room? And they're like, sure. And she just grabbed a piece of paper and started writing.
Yeah. Wanted to know the name.
And walked back here immediately yesterday and take that paper to the door. It's like a very casual organization. And yet they're very, very, very good here at this Hardee's.
Very
and
welcoming.
So we give them props, and you know, of course, this being heard all around the nation and around the world, and right here in Williston, in Jesus' mighty name. So we'll just give a few more minutes for some more people to hook up. I've been playing videos of somebody preaching and telling stories or whatever, But right now, we're going to have Sister Leanne tell a story. She gets up and walks out of the room. And
10 minutes until showtime.
And no sense of the word. Well, look at there. Just like that. We're going live now to YouTube. Welcome all of you on YouTube world. We're glad to have you with us here. This program is called 1 Hour of Faith, where we are teaching you faith. This is what the Bible says. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so that's what this whole program is about, is faith. And, you know, not some weird cosmos face. If you positive mental attitude, think, meditate, think, and it's all going to be better. This is faith that truly changes your world.
Yes.
I'm not interested in just a really good positive mental attitude. I mean, I like it. I truly do. I believe in being positive rather than being negative, but that's not faith. Positive mental attitude is not faith. It's better to be positive than it is negative. But faith that actually changes your world, changes who you are, and transforms you into a different person where you can actually make a difference in your own life and in the world. And so that's what we're talking about today. And today we're going to be talking about being born again and how Jesus said be born again and master this world.
5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Love Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio has joined us and helping us take this message all around the world. Once again, this message this morning is going to be on faith, and we welcome you. Now, I started to say this. Just remember that something about the internet here goes off at a certain point. When that happens, sometimes Facebook disconnects or YouTube disconnects. I'm sure Blog Talk Radio will disconnect. So I'm going to do my best to give you the verses right up front that we're going through. And then I'll speak a little bit, preach a little bit, teach a little bit about it afterwards until we can figure out what makes the internet work here and how to put our time process into the middle of it. We're on Zoom today. Not that if you're on Facebook, anybody can see you. This is just for those who are part of the Zoom team and just giving you a little bit of heads up of how it works. So Zoom should keep us connected all the way through it. And if it doesn't, come back and watch it later, and we'll be able to update it as best of our ability. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, if it does disconnect you, then I will upload the audio to it. Yeah, I'll upload the audio to this on a later date. Marianne Muriel MacDonald.
Welcome.
All the way from beautiful Prescott, Michigan, or wherever you live now. I would imagine that's Prescott, isn't it? Welcome. I still have my fork, and Leanne does not have hers.
Well, we're married, so we share, right?
So what's mine is mine, and what yours is mine. So there, that's now what are you going to say? For those of you who live in the Williston area, it's not too late to come out and hang out with us. The post is up where you can see it. And even if you don't know us, we've never met a stranger. We're bikers. We don't know strangers. Right, we're believers.
Amen.
But of course, we are also bikers. That was a Grom.
That was a Grom.
You're welcome to come right now. You might not get breakfast yet. They're probably already over into lunch. But we got room for 20 people in here. And we would love to have you. If you're off lunch just for lunch in the oil field, come on in here. Grab your lunch, sit down, and let's talk faith together. And
stay as long as you can.
Stay as long as you can.
The end if you can't.
Get up and leave. Just don't make a bunch of noise when you leave.
Oh, we will.
That's a joke. So let's pray, and we'll get ourselves started here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are again, brothers and sisters of the community of faith. And most certainly, this community of faith that we have on Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, in our personal lives together. Thank you for each of these who are a part of it.
Yeah.
But in the broad sense of the word, the community of faith, thank you for the community of faith around the world. Thank you for the believers all across the United States of America and around the world. Right now, the sun is up here and church is happening all across the United States of America. And we bless the pastors. We bless the worship teams. We bless the ministry teams. And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus the blessing of the Lord there. May people be born again. May people be filled with your Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
May people flow in their heavenly language. May people be delivered, set free, transformed, healed forever. May bondages be broken, lives transformed and set free. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. May everyone who hears this program get past all the internet stuff and the technology stuff and just sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
Yeah.
By the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak through me. I yield my heart, my mind, my understanding, my words to you, to be used by you to bless the lives of all of these people in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Everybody pause for a minute. No, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I am now going to perform... No, you can't either. I'm now going to perform a feat that I've not done since I've been here.
Which is?
Preaching without my Bible.
Yeah.
I walked... You ever had one of them days where you're walking out of the house and you're like, I'm forgetting something?
Okay, we walked out without the Bible and the communion elements.
And you check. I got my wallet. I got my keys. I got my pocket. You can't leave the house without a pocket knife. And then I got my two charging cords I need. Yep, I got that. Got my cross. Got the magnifiers. Got my computer. I got my charging cord. And I got in the car and I'm like, I'm just missing something. You know what it was? It was my Bible up on the dash. I'm not going to drive a vehicle without my Bible on the dash. Yep. Of course, I'm not going to live my life without my Bible either. I'm not going to Hardee's even though it's right down the street.
Who's that?
Kathy Angaroni. Oh. Bless you, Kathy. Love you.
Come join us in ours. It's too funny.
Look, Kathy, just drive another half mile down the road. Maybe it's a mile. And Hardee's is right there on the left as you're coming from McDonald's. Amen. If Kathy shows up here, we're going to give you an example of being translated in the Word of God. All right. Let's get to the Word of God here. I'm having a lot of fun. Not too much. I'm having a lot of fun. I enjoy being with the community of faith. I enjoy what we do here, and I thank you for being a part of it, because you know what? What is life if you don't have people with it? God made us to love one another. And even though you might say, Pastor, I don't get along with people. I know, because you're weird and gnarly. Whenever I'm having trouble getting along with people, I always tell myself, quit being so weird and gnarly, and then people will like you. I'm going to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Since I only have my computer and my notes, I will only be sticking to the verses that are in my notes.
There you go.
All of you putting in verses would be like, woo! Now, let's read this together from God's holy word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. I like that. Admonishing. That means talking. Hey, there's Shay. Go get her.
Oh, yeah.
That's teaching. Admonishing is not just teaching or preaching, but it is an instruction and a pleading, not pleading, but reasoning with, to follow a certain path. It says, let the word of Christ, not the word of the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostals, the Lutherans, God bless them all, the Catholics. It's not that. Let the word of Christ, that means what's in that Bible, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord. Isn't that something? There I went, just like that.
It's gone?
Yep.
Really?
Isn't it something?
Just Blog Talk Facebook and everything?
Isn't it something, Brother Dan's carrying it through, that it, as soon as I actually started speaking, now, we're back, just like that. That was a quick one. And thank you, Brother Dan, for holding the line while we were gone. Let's see if we made it back in time with YouTube and Facebook. It's on the right. That's cool, Kathy. It's on the right. All right. So I'm back now. Where was I at? Oh, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He's talking about us dwelling richly, wisdom, teaching, admonishing, and then he says in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That means in the morning when I wake up and begin to sing to you while you're still sleeping, you're supposed to appreciate it.
And I do.
All right. I know some people say, don't sing to me until I've at least had one cup of coffee. Now, watch this. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now listen, all that you do You don't need a Greek or Hebrew definition book to understand all that you do. You don't need that. All you got to do is just realize that God said, in all that you do, and that means what? In all you do. In all you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, listen, that's all you do in your life personally. That's all you do in your family. You know, if you're married, a husband and wife, you've got children, maybe you've got stepchildren. That's everything it takes to do that. If you're a fisherman, what you're doing that. If you're a biker, what you're doing there. If you're just a good old boy out making your garden, it doesn't matter what it is you're doing. This verse tells you and me, do what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the word of Christ will dwell in us richly. Now, you and I have been given a very severe religious example here in the United States of America. And of course, everybody knows Sunday morning you go to church. If you're with the Seventh-day Adventist, you go in on Saturday. And if you're a good Catholic, you might go every Saturday night for Mass, or there's other churches that do that. But it's not what God's talking about. That's the churchianity side of who God is in the United States of America. But what God wants is for you and I to get far above churchianity. Look at what this verse says. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Somebody see if we're still on YouTube and Facebook, if you would, please. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. See, what God wants, he doesn't want the first Baptist or second Lutheran or, you know, the third Calvinist. He don't care about all that. This verse, which was inspired by the same Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. YouTube's not on?
It's just spinning.
Is it? All right, I'm just going to keep preaching and I'm just going to go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, here's a challenge that we face. There's a lot of people like, well, Pastor, I go to church all the time, but the word doesn't seem to dwell in me richly. I love the story we heard this week of Brother Terry Mize. And it's the classic story of life. I'm going to tell his, and then I'm going to tell mine. All right? Brother Terry is called by God to be a missionary at a very early age in his life, 13 years old. And at 18, he met a missionary family that was a missionary in Panama. And he was running. He asked them, can I go to Panama with you guys? And I'll do mission work with you down in Panama. So our dear friend Shay just walked in. Everybody give her a big round of applause. Now, you guys will see Shay every now and then. She'll show up on the program with us. And today she's here live and in person.
Woo! Yes.
Now,
she sang at her church this morning.
She sang at church this morning.
We should make you sing here.
No.
All right. Okay, so here's Brother Terry, and he goes to Panama. He's 18 years old. Now watch this. He gets there, and immediately when he got out of the boat, the first canoe, he stepped on something sharp, cut his foot, and got an infection. And then he got malaria, mosquitoes. And then he got more scratches. And then he got typhoid fever. He's 18 years old. He went to Panama weighing 185, and by the time he left of his first mission trip, he was down to 135. He'd lost 50 pounds because of his sickness. Everybody in the jungle said, you're wonderful. You're suffering for Jesus. We're so proud of you. So he gets back to America and he lives. You know, anybody want to say, thank God, Brother Terry lived?
Yeah,
I mean, serious.
Goodness.
And he's back in America and he says, you know, Lord, I really don't understand something. He's praying one day. I don't understand something here. No good commander would kill his own troops.
Amen.
Right? That just doesn't make sense. That'd be like, you know, my great general, I remember Schwarzkopf. Schwarzkopf saying, bring me my greatest, you know, captain. And he walks up and he says, I'm going to kill you. You're doing so good. And yet people, if I said that about Schwarzkopf, people are like, you're out of your mind. But they say that about our God all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you died for Jesus. Aren't you glad? Well, Jesus is in heaven saying, would one of you please just live for me? I need to get a work done down there. Anyways, Brother Terry went to God and said, I need an answer. And he said, as soon as I asked him, he said to me, your problem, Terry, is you don't think like me, you think like the church. Anybody want to do it? Boom. Have you ever found yourself thinking like the church, but you didn't? For some reason, God didn't seem anywhere close to it. Now, I'm not down in anybody's church. Nobody. You can throw all you want, because all I got's Leanne and Shay, and they'll block anything that comes flying in from the internet. What's the point, Pastor? Look at that verse that we're reading this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not the word of religion. Everybody say it. Thank God for my church. Thank God for a place to gather, sing songs, go to an altar, receive communion, bring your tithe there. Thank God for that. But he's not telling you to have that church dwelling in you richly. He's saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If I had my Bible, I'd pick it up and show it to you. But I left it at home. First time this preacher's been without his Bible with him for a very, very long time. Anyways. Now, well, what, Pastor, the Bible don't make sense to me. Let's ask an important question. Now, I might be preaching, but I'm more admonishing you this morning than preaching. Have you actually been born again? Now, why I say that is, there's a lot of people that have gone to church all their life, but they've never been born again. They've never actually taken the step where they said, Jesus, come into my life and make me born again. Make my spirit come back alive. I'll refer to it. Genesis chapter 1 is verses 26 through 30 is God saying to Adam, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. Genesis 1, 26 through 30. Well, Genesis chapter 2 is when woman shows up. God takes Adam's rib. That's why men likes to go to rib restaurants. Didn't know if you knew that. Trying to find their rib again. And Adam woke up and said, whoa, man. And that's how you got your name, woman. It's a good joke. I like it. Even if maybe it'll help you. But see, then Genesis chapter 3 is Adam and Eve sinning. And when they sinned, Satan said to them, you're not going to die. That's what he said. You won't die. Well, he knew they wouldn't die physically. Adam lived to be 960 years old. That's a long life. I haven't even really got a good start at 9. Matter of fact, I'm almost 60. I still got 900 years to go to catch Adam. But this is the point. What died in Adam and Eve was their spirit man connection between them and God. When you're born again, that spirit man gets back in connection with Almighty God, just like Adam in the garden. And then, if you can get your mind renewed, like Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, if you can get your mind renewed to the word of Christ dwelling richly in you, you can get back to that same relationship Adam had with God in the garden. Now, I know, people are going to throw the communion set at me right now and throw the altar at me, throw the pulpit at me, saying, that's vile. You can't be like Adam. Wait a minute. Read the Bible. I know what church has taught you. I'm a church person. I have been in church my whole life. I mean, my mom didn't have me born at the altar.
Are you sure?
But within 3 or 4 days, I was at the altar with my mom and dad in church. They were pastors. So I've been in church my whole life. I know what church teaches. And I know that many times when it comes to understanding God, we give people church and they look at you like, bleh. Why? Because church doesn't satisfy. The God that church is supposed to be teaching you about is what satisfies you. And so I told you Brother Terry's story. Well, when God said that to Terry about you think like church and not like me, Brother Terry said, well, then tell me how to think about you, and I'm changing my life right now. Now, this is my story. You guys have heard me tell this story many times. And the other day, I posted it on the Community of Faith page, a picture of this cabin I was in, this little house, in Old Crow, Yukon territory, above the Arctic Circle on a mission trip. So we were living in Fairbanks, and we got in airplanes, and we flew out into the Yukon territory, 5 hours northeast of Fairbanks, above the Arctic Circle, in a little tiny community of about 250 people called Old Crow. It was an Indian village, and we were about 45 minutes flight from the Arctic Ocean. That's how far up we were. It was beautiful. And our first trip in there was in June, and I mean, the sun didn't go down hardly, because that's where the sun's at, up there on top of there. The mosquitoes are about this big. I first got to the village, there was no running water unless you took a bucket and ran and got it. And so I just thought, well, I ain't doing that. I'm just going to go down the river. I'll go way down off the end of the village, and I'll just get in the water where I can take my bar of soap. It's not like I'm polluting anybody that's going to die. There ain't nothing up there. So I took my clothes off to get in that, and here comes this squadron of mosquitoes. I'm like, well, that ain't going to work. I'll just stink, you know. That's a mess right there. Big mosquitoes. But in that village, of course, the bear was seen as sacred because they were like, what do you call the religion belief that you know, reincarnation. You could be reincarnated in a bear. So that bear might be your grandpa. All right, it's a grizzly bear and it's going to try to kill you. I don't know what's wrong with grandpa, but anyways. So I landed in that village the first time we were there. And, of course, Roger's kids came down. And then here comes a bunch of the little Indian kids. And so we get all our stuff off there, the little airplane. And we're running around playing tag. And I wore them out. I'm a college kid. I wore them out. And they're sitting in the swings. So as a wise Bible college student, I thought I would break the ice and ask a question. Trained really good in Bible college. Mm-hmm. I said, so boys, how many bears does your daddy kill a year here? And it's just like the cartoons. You know how Fred Flintstone would go, and he'd be gone. Them kids disappeared, man. And, of course, I had a great aha moment of, whoops, I said something wrong. So I said to the missionary son, Seth, I said, hey, Seth, do you know what I just said? He goes, yeah, I do. I said, well, what did I say? He said, you asked them if their dad kills a bear. I'm like, yeah. He said, well, the bear bite me grandpa, so no, they don't. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Now watch. We're talking about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Some of you have already heard this story, but watch this. Now that you heard the story, if you go back to the Community of Faith Facebook page, you'll see the picture of the missionaries and the cabin. It's a sod roof cabin. I was there. So, you know, we're going to have a vacation Bible school. We're there for a week. I go out with my friend Mike, and he's from another Bible college. They were really weird. But anyways, and we go door to door knocking, inviting all the kids to come and be for the vacation Bible school. I'm on the west end of the village, and the chief lives on the east end of the village, and there's a mile long runway between the two houses, and then all the villages are all along that runway. So it's the last house of the village. Mike and I walk up. We're really bold, you know, Bible college student, knock on the door. The chief opens the door. He is obviously drunk, and there's a 30-30 Model 94 Winchester leaning up against the door right by where we're standing. I can see it. And he goes, oh, you guys. He said, how you doing, sir? He said, I'm the chief. And I don't like what you're teaching my kids. So leave or I'll shoot you. Well, now, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation before. All right? Because I'm not the smartest man in the world. I was 21 years old. I was just a young kid then, you know. But I do know this about life. In order for me to leave that man's house and go somewhere else, like he just told me, I have to turn my back to him. Right? And he's drunk, and there's a rifle right there by that door. And I don't know if you ever felt it, but the hair back here in the back of your neck stands up. You know, I didn't have all this faith teaching I have now about how to overcome all this and put fear down underneath my foot and put people down underneath my foot. And I said, well, sir, I'm sorry about that. I did not know that that's how you believed here. And I'm not going to do anything wrong to anybody. I'm not going to teach your kids wrong. I just want to teach them about Jesus. Well, I don't like it and get out of here. Well, there's a problem. There's no road to leave. And if you did, you'd get eaten by a grizzly. And
somebody's grandpa you were trying to
And you
get.
Can't jump in a boat and go down the river because there ain't no boats. The water is too rocky.
And you can't jump in a boat.
And the only way that you can do it is turn Facebook on the other computer and then you'll get it.
Zoom, I was trying to get back into Zoom.
Just click the button.
Oh, good. See, I always panic and forget that button is there.
So, this is on the inside of me, I said this. Remember this, the word of Christ dwell in you richly? This was on the inside of me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was the verse that God gave me when he called me. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out demons, heal the sick, speak with new tongues, and whatsoever they do is going to prosper. So I'm like, well, you didn't send me here to kill me. What good does it do me to get to Old Crow and die on my first day there? That doesn't make sense. So we just turned around, and I said what I said and turned around and walked away. And you know, your ears are kind of tingling because you know the guy's got a rifle right there. And he just said he's going to kill me, you know. But on the inside, I'm like, no. God didn't send me here to kill me. It was honestly the only thought that I could muster in faith. God did not send me here to kill me. You ready for this?
It's a good thought to hang on to.
God didn't get you born again to make you die of cancer or any other disease.
Amen.
God didn't make you born again so you can be broke, busted, and disgusted.
Yeah.
Quit calling my God and Father such a mean, horrible person.
And he didn't send his son for us to be healed and saved to kill us.
Just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
So, once we got around the corner where the gun wouldn't shoot us, but somebody else, Mike finally starts talking. If you're watching, Mike, I love you, brother. We did it. I said, Mike, God didn't send us here to kill us. Let's go back to our cabin. Let's pray. So we walk all the way to the other end of the cabin, to the village, and we go in the cabin. We're praying, talking to God, Of course, we don't know much, but he's going to kill us. God didn't bring us here to kill us. He's going to kill us. God didn't bring us here to, but, you know. Finally, I said, Mike, come on. God didn't send us up here so we can die. Ready for this? Roger Rinker's wife, Karen, had been in that village for 7 years and never seen another Christian woman. For seven years. And we were there, and God's going to let them kill us on our first day there, giving this lady strength? I'm going to tell you something. If you believe the doctrines of the church, you might end up dead. But if you believe what's in God's holy book, you're probably not going to end up dead because I'm still sitting here. Now watch. This is the best part of the whole story. Mike and I probably prayed for a half an hour. And so he's like, all right. God's not going to kill us. Let's go talk to Karen and tell her what we found out. So we come out of the little house, the little shack where we are. We were actually the very last cabin, little house in the village. And Karen was about, I don't know, 300-400 yards. She's probably a quarter of a mile. So Mike and I have all of this courage. We walk out of the cabin and we start heading up the road. And I am not joking, you people. I wish I could have had a camera to take a picture of it. Here comes the whole village walking right at us. All right. Now we're challenged to believe what we just prayed for a half an hour is actually true. And the chief didn't call the whole village to come do a public lynching. I mean, if you've ever read Fox's Books of Martyrs, you know how some of them people were martyred in the old days. They beat them with clubs. They boiled them. They fried them. They cut them in half. I mean, the Bible tells you about all that. And here comes the whole village walking at us. And Mike's freaking. I'm like, Mike, just walk. He didn't send us here to kill us, you know. The first people are walking by us smiling, and we're walking through them. We're like, oh, we didn't die. You know, we walk into that little cabin you see in that picture. And Karen's like, the missionary's wife's like, what in the world happened to you guys? And we're like, why? She says, you're white as a sheet. You have no color in your face. We told her. She just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And then she got real serious. She said, you didn't hear that plane just show up? And I said, no. We were busy praying. We were busy praying. She said, yeah, we just had a big plane land. And you're not going to see anybody for about 3 or 4 days. And we're like, well, what's that mean? She said, that was the alcohol plane. All these men go out in the tundra and fight fires. And as they fight the fires, the government pays them big money. And so once they all come back from fighting a fire, they got a whole pocket full of money. They call the alcohol plane. She said, they'll all be drunk now for about 4 days. You won't see anybody.
Isn't that something?
And I'm like, wow, that's sad. And she was right. We didn't see hardly an adult for 4 days. But watch this. They'd been there for 7 years doing that mission work. Had never seen one person pray to be born again. And that summer, we prayed with 24 kids and 3 adults to be born again. And that mission work began right there in that village. Now, this verse in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then what's going to happen? You're going to get wisdom. You're going to get teaching. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are going to come to you. Why? Because his word is dwelling in you. Now look at verse 17, Colossians 3, 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, this is why we use the terminology born again. Because the Word of God is not going to minister life to you until your spirit man's been born again. John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus privately and said, wait, it's obvious you know something we don't know. We ain't never seen anybody with this much power. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like me. He looks at himself, says, I'm 5'9". I know the babies come out wound up, but you can't wind me up that tight and put me back in my mama's womb. That's John chapter 3. And Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit. Where you're born again is in your spirit man comes alive to Christ because you say, Jesus, come and fill me in all of my life. And then the verse that everybody knows, most people know in the United States of America, and that is John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's good. Thank God he loved the world. However, if you don't go the next step of that, then you'll just walk around saying God loves us all in the world. Well, he does. But the next part says that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So the answer is not just believing in God, going to church and acting churchy like it's supposed to be God, but actually receiving him. Verse 11 or 17, John 3:17 says, God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world. Who condemns the world most time? Is those Christians with them long bony fingers of condemnation. They point them at you and they kind of shake their fingers saying, if you do that, you're going to hell. Well, hell is real. But Jesus didn't come to say, if you do that, you're going to hell. Jesus, everywhere he went, said, believe on me and you'll receive heaven.
Amen.
See, it's the difference in the messages that we teach. God so loved this world, that means you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone in any nation, anywhere, who believes in him will have everlasting life and you will not perish. So what's the answer? Believing in him. Now, this is not in my notes, and I do not have my Bible.
There's a surprise.
So, let me grab a stab here and see if I can hit it. 2 Corinthians, and let's go to chapter 4. Let me see if I got this right. I did. I got it right. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, and the reference point is verses 7 through 18. Now watch this. I love these set of verses. Ready for this? We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, I have an earthen vessel. The world knows that vessel as Samuel John Cottle. That's my name. We have Leanne Marie Cottle here. We have Shay
Johnson. LeRae Johnson. That's really pretty. LeRae.
Oh, your name's not Shay?
Johnson.
Oh, Shay LeRae. All right. Shay LeRae Johnson.
Oh, you thought her name, Shay was her
no,
name?
No, I didn't know what her name was. Oh, okay. I thought one day I said, hey, and you said Shay, so I just followed you.
Hey, Shay. It's hey, Shay.
Shay used to ride in the lift car with us. It's pretty cool. But I want you to see this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:7. And if you guys are making comments, I can't see them, but keep making them. Whatever platform you're on, just keep doing it. All right? And then I'll get to read them at the end. This verse says, we have this treasure. Well, what's the treasure? Jesus. We have this treasure in this earthen vessel. You are not your body. How many of you want to say, thank God for that?
Yeah.
Wait. And you are not your brain. Anybody want to say thank God for that? What's my brain's like, dideep, 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 dideep. Sometimes, you know, that's my brain. No, you are a spirit being that's eternal. You're either going to live in heaven or in hell. And if you follow me and are part of my life, I'm going to get you to heaven. All right? But this treasure, what's the treasure? Jesus, that you and I get to believe in him. We will have everlasting life. And this treasure is in this earthen vessel. Now, you can go this morning on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, you know, all the different platforms, and you can find some of the most polished, amazingly awesome, big, beautiful, wonderful bands, rock bands, lights, fog, all the stuff in the name of God. And that's good. Thank God for them. And then you can come here today and right in the middle of my preaching, the internet went out. Now, I want you to get this picture. The internet going out here for whatever reason it does and coming back on, that has nothing to do with the treasure that's on the inside of us. It doesn't matter if you're in a little Indian village in India somewhere and you don't have a cell phone, never seen one, or you're in the highest skyscraper in Dubai worth $1 billion. It doesn't matter. There's a treasure that comes inside this earthen vessel that you can't get any other way except saying, Jesus, I believe in you.
Amen.
And as soon as you say that and mean it from your heart, he comes in. And he fills every part of your life. Now watch these next verses. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We're hard pressed on every side. Yeah, we're not crushed. We are perplexed. Why? Enemy don't want you getting the word of God, but you're not in despair. Persecuted? Oh yeah, I've been persecuted, but I was not forsaken. That guy didn't shoot me. I lived. I got thinking about the fact that I went to the end of the village to jump in the water. I'm a long ways from anywhere. Forget the mosquitoes. I could have got eaten by a bear.
Yeah.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. And here's Paul, having received 150 lashes with a whip and bore the scars of them on his back. And he said, but not destroyed. Now, let's go down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, with your eyes you can see them, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen, they're eternal. You ready? You and I have all of eternity living right inside here. Now watch. Let's grab another verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Anybody know what time it is?
12:14.
14, all right. Does anybody know what time I started preaching? I know. All the good folks that's with us, like, does anybody care what time you started preaching, Pastor? Just keep going. Hey, Tanya Mason's with us. Look at her. I got some comments. Welcome, Tanya. Steve, were you guys riding today somewhere? God bless you. I want to be riding with you. I think I'm going to buy a Grom, guys. I'm going to buy me one of them little Honda scooters. Here we go.
They do look fun.
Verse 11, Romans 8:11. Watch this. This is the most life-transforming verse. But if the spirit of him, notice, spirit and him are capitalized. That's Jesus, or that's the Holy Spirit. No, that's God. If the spirit of him, God, spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he, that's capitalized, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, also gives life to your mortal body. That's this stuff. Pinch it and you're going to squeal. Punch somebody, they'll punch you back. That's your mortal body. Through his spirit, both capitalized, who dwells in you. Well, if you've been born again and you've ever said, Holy Spirit, fill me. That Holy, the Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of you. Ready? He's producing life from the inside out. Now your healing comes from within out, not from above on. Amen. Healing comes from in. Amen. So what I do in this verse is I take off the but if. Why? Because but if ain't true no more. Now that I've said Holy Spirit live in me, I change but if to since the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm using the proper tense about me. And now the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and me. And, you know, when you and I get this revelation, we will teach everybody around us everywhere all the time. Anytime somebody will stand still long enough to hear it, we'll look at them and say, but wait, have you been born again? because this Bible ain't going to make sense until you're born again. But as soon as you're born again, the Bible begins to make sense. And then Jesus told the disciples and Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, he said, you guys wait in Jerusalem till you be filled with power. Mary was in the upper room with the 12 disciples when the Holy Spirit fell and the fire was on their head and they were all speaking in tongues, glorifying God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in there. Quit thinking it's a Pentecostal doctrine. Right. Quit thinking about the people you've seen on TV rolling around on the floor and all the stuff you've ever seen. Quit thinking that. I've been in them services. It's real. I'm telling you, man, my pastor one time never touched me. He just said, whoa, that's all he did. He made a loud noise and I went down on the ground in a heap, felt my head bounce on the floor. Laid there for, I don't know, 35 minutes. The most glorious peace you ever felt in your life. It's not weird. Listen to me. I want everybody to pay attention. When God comes on this human flesh in that manner, you can't stand up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you this, because I've been there. You want it. You want God. I see, as soon as I said that, I can feel his presence coming all over me right now. You want that. The first time I ever had that experience happen was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, going to a church there. Resurrection Life, Pastor Dwayne Vanderclock, still going, powerful church. We had five Sunday morning services and three Sunday night services because so many people were trying to get in this little tiny Baptist church that was no longer Baptist. So we built this big, beautiful sanctuary that held 2,500 people. And the very first service of that church, they had to have two Sunday morning services because there was 5,000 people coming now. It was amazing to see. Mm-hmm. And then today they got a big coliseum that'll hold 15,000. But I went up to the altar. There was a period after we sang and worshiped and gave our tithes and offerings that the pastor would have the elders of the church go around the altar. If you needed prayer in your life for physical healing or something going on in your life and family, you would go up and they would pray for you. I went up to the altar and the guy said, what do you need, brother? I said, man, my life's a mess. I need to get God. This is after I had that mission trip. I mean, my life was a mess. I'm like, I don't know. I can't figure out how to get into ministry. I know I'm supposed to be a preacher. He goes, well, raise your hand and let me pray for you. He's an elder of the church standing in the front. I just raised my hands like that. He never said a word. He never touched me. I raised my hand like that and down I went on the floor. And I thought then, I'm like, wow, this is the most amazing peace that I have ever experienced in my life. Nobody touched me. It wasn't a man thing. Nobody. And that peace, what is it? Well, it's God coming into human flesh. And that's that verse I just read. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You remember in the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they brought that whole platoon of troops against him to carry him away? And he said, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. Go read those verses. That whole platoon of troops, they all fell out underneath the power of Jesus saying, I am he. They all fell down. That's why they brought a whole platoon, because they were afraid of him. They didn't think one guy could take him. I don't know how they thought a whole group of them could take him. But what are you saying, Pastor? You look at that verse. There's a treasure in this earthen vessel. What's the treasure? Jesus and who he is the treasure. Now, this is the cool part. You open up your Bible and read it, and that Jesus that's in you and that Holy Spirit that's in you will lead you from the inside out to the truth. Here's Brother Terry in the middle of all of that. The whole church said, Terry, you did good. You almost died for Jesus. And he's like, what are you guys trying to see me die? I'm 18. I'm 20 years old. And then God said, Terry, I don't want you dying. Well, then we heard the story of the guy that shot him five times point blank right in the chest with the gun holding right on his chest, squeezed the trigger five times, and the gun went off. And Terry had been standing there saying, I don't know what you're going to do with the bullets, Lord, but you better do something because I'm not dying for you right here today. And when they got all done with the cornfield battle, they walked back to the car together and drove down the road, the man with the gun, and that didn't work, and Brother Terry's telling him about Jesus. See, it's this treasure. But the treasure isn't Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Methodist, Catholic. It's none of that. The treasure is Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Living on the inside of you. And listen, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in this kingdom. Once you know this and you begin to experience it, you can help anybody find the same thing you found and get to where you are. You know why? Because you're already there. You might look at them down the road and say, I don't know how to tell them to get there, but I can tell you how to get where I am. I look at my life and I don't know how to get. I'm not where Dr. Barclay is, my pastor. But I am. Bring it, devil. I'll take you out. Somebody here is making some noise. Now.
Oh, Dan's saying amen.
Oh, Dan is saying amen. Amen, Dan. Hallelujah. Now, let's pray, and we'll be finished for this morning. It's supposed to be 1 hour of faith. I have no idea how long I've preached, but it doesn't matter. We're not concerned about time. We're concerned about getting the message out. Amen. Here's the thing. God wants to come live in you. Oh, this was the last thought I had. The same Holy Spirit that was hovering over the water in Genesis chapter 1 at creation is the same Holy Spirit that inspired your Bible. And it's the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. There's not a big HG, Holy Ghost, and a little one. And the garden got the big Holy Spirit and you got the little Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. And he inspired the book and he's going to live on the inside of you. And if you'll get that, and thank God for your churchy brothers and church situation, but live in the open book. It won't matter what denomination you belong to. God will lead you to a relationship with him you never knew was available. You'll still have days when you scratch your head and say, what's going on? But if you stay in his presence and walk with him, you'll always figure it out. Now, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Sister Leanne and I have walked away this morning without my Bible and without the communion elements. Do you have any bread
we
left?
Neither do we. We both ate all of our breakfast.
I've been carrying some communion juice in my computer bag because we were at the park.
The park, yeah.
But it fermented and was pretty strong.
Oh.
I opened the top the other day and it was like, psh, I'm like, ah.
Yummy.
Jesus is turning the grape juice into wine, or maybe not Jesus, maybe just Sam. I want everybody to pray this prayer of salvation with me. I'll say a few words and then you follow with me. Because I want to make sure you're right with God today. God Almighty is going to come in you right now. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again.
And you rose again.
To give me victory over sin.
To to give me victory over
Put your hands out and say, Jesus, come into my life right now.
Jesus, come into my life.
Everybody, right now. Just do it. Just do it. Just take the step and say, come into my life right now. All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Live a successful life.
Live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, here's the cool thing about it. I don't know if you're supposed to take your hat off during prayer. I always just feel like it, all right? God Almighty in Jesus just came to live inside of you. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And Holy Spirit, you know, we in the church we say the Holy Spirit, but really his name is Holy Spirit. He is a being just like Jesus in the Father. Holy Spirit just came and lived on the inside of you. You will never be the same. As soon as you understand the revelation of all of His righteousness filling you, you won't ever even sin anymore. Because the Apostle John taught us, His nature just came to live within you, and you won't sin. How amazing is that? Now wait, I want to encourage everybody. You might say, Pastor, I'm so bound by sin, I don't know that I could ever get free. This is what I know. In your own strength, you won't. If you're a strong enough person, you will, but if you were a strong enough person, you would already beat it. But God never said, I expect you to beat sin in your own strength. God said, let me send you Jesus. He'll come and live within you. And then you can use His righteousness to beat sin. And as soon as that happened in my life, I beat every form of religiosity that has ever tried to destroy me. And to this day, every time I see something new, it's like, well, you get out of my life right now. And listen, that still is about every day that I'm seeing that. I'll say to Leanne, oh my God, listen to this. We were talking about something. Well, we just do it every day, just about. What is it? The Word of Christ dwelling in us? Confronting.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that we're living in and like, whoa, we ain't living like that. That ain't what Jesus said. Uh-uh. And literally, in our house, we don't sin. Why?
Well, we're outside of our house either.
When we get outside the house, we sin, but not in the house.
Walk out the door and turn into...
Wait. When I say this, sometimes people get discouraged. They're like, Pastor, I'm sinning like crazy. I want you to hear this now. Listen. Pay attention to me.
Listen.
For 20 years as a pastor, for 20 years as a pastor, I would go back from Sunday morning church and say, Father, I did not say that like you wanted me to say it. What is wrong with me? And he'd say, you're bound by religion. I'm like, well, why are you using me? He said, I got to have somebody that's going to learn. So change. And I would face that religiosity and fight it all week long. And slowly, the Word of God began to get down in below religion and begin to transform me into the Word of Christ dwelling in me richly. And now, I have no condemnation for anybody. It doesn't matter to me what sin you're fighting right now today. It doesn't matter. I will help you beat that sin. Just stick with me. Please, do not go away. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not like you. If you have Jesus, you're just like me.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, I look at my pastor, Dr. Barclay, and say, I ain't nothing like him. But I am, because I have the same Jesus. I have the same Holy Bible. I'm filled with the same Holy Spirit. And there's only one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one Father. There's only one Spirit. And that Spirit ain't going to lead us two different ways. He's going to take us right to the same word every time. If we'll let our ears plug to religion and open up to the Word of God.
Amen.
And you stick with us and we'll help you get there. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, this is the most horrendous thing I've ever said to you. We're going to have to close without communion. I don't even know if it's legal to say that.
We'll be all right. Especially these ones that are here every day.
I beg of you today to receive communion in your own home.
Yes, there you go. It's on the website.
And you can go to the website, samueljcottle.com, and there'll be communion there. You can read the whole communion service. Read it right off the page. Speak it out loud. Receive it yourself. Because Jesus told Paul, wait, get this. Jesus the Christ met the Apostle Paul in the desert personally and said, as often as you do this, often does not mean Christmas and Easter. Often means often. And we receive communion here every day. If you're fighting sin, I take. If you have one of the horrible sins that you're trying to get rid of, I'll tell Dr. Barclay's story. That way nobody's offended by the stories I know. He met a man somewhere in the city, and the man said, Pastor, he asked his pastor, said, can I talk to Dr. Barclay? And Dr. Barclay was like, yeah, talk to me. So what's going on? He said, sir, I'm born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, but I can't leave a prostitute alone. He goes, what? He goes, I see a prostitute walking down the street. I just stop and pick her up. He goes, you're born again and filled with the Spirit? He goes, yeah, and I know it's wrong, Pastor, but I don't seem to be able to get free from it. Whoever thought anybody would ever say this? Dr. Barclay said, call me the next time it happens, and gave him his phone number. Now, I don't think Pastor's probably ever done that for anybody else in the world. And no, I'm not giving you his phone number. So the guy calls him. It's about 11:30 at night. He goes, Pastor, Dr. Barclay, I am with another hooker. He said, grab your clothes and run. And the guy grabbed his clothes naked, ran right out the door, got in his car and left. And broke the power of it and never was affected by it another day of his life. Why? The word of Christ began to dwell in him richly. And he learned to do something radical to get away from it. Never affected him again. You don't need my phone number to get free from sin. That's not the answer to the story. What is the story? When you realize the righteousness of God lives in here, and your righteousness will never be good enough, but His will, it's a revelation. It transforms everything about you, and you quit the fight. I was a pastor for 20 years when Pastor Kim Wetland came to my church and gave me this revelation. He said, he's preaching about the spirit of faith and the word of faith. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. The righteousness of faith. After the service, I'm like, Kim, what does that mean? And he looked at me like, you're a preacher. I'm fixing to whoop you right now because you don't know what that means. And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know what it means. And so he said, have you ever fought anything that you didn't think you could get control of? I said, yeah, religion. He goes, yep, that's a serious sin. He said, have you ever noticed in your own strength you can't beat it? I was like, yeah, over and over. He said, that's because your righteousness will never be good enough. He said, are you, it's kind of a dumb thing for two preachers to say to each other, but are you born again? And I said, well, you know I'm born again. He goes, and are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, yes, I am. He goes, I know. He said, His righteousness came to you when you were born again. I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, use His righteousness, not yours. And that went off inside of me. Never. Transformed my life. From that day on, it's like, man, I ain't fighting this in my strength. I got Jesus' righteousness. And it's pure. And it's holy. He didn't sin. Jesus didn't sin. And he gave me that righteousness and said, here, you use it. Wow! Woo! And now you're free. Does the world come at you? Oh, yeah. Temptation's still going to come. But you look at him like, whoa, no, no, Charlie, no. Why? Because I have the most beautiful presence and peace of God in my life. Name nothing of this world. I don't care what you brought me. What is it that's going to take the place of the beauty of who God is in my life? If you've never heard that message, I've got about 8 messages of it in YouTube that I'd be glad to let you study. And it's in a playlist. And my name, Samuel J. Cottle, it's called The Righteousness of God. You can search it up and find it and listen to it. Don't cost you no money. It's right on YouTube. Just click it and go. And do what I did when I would hear Dr. Barclay preach something. I'd listen to that message 100 times. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Transform your life.
And communion can help break the power of that.
Turn your mic on and tell them. And communion helps break the power of that. Amen.
Yeah.
Take it every day.
And illness.
That lady, there's a lady who was given a cancer report, and it was stage 4, and the doctor said, there's nothing we can do for you. And she said, all right, well, I'm not taking chemo. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to call some friends, and we're going to pray. And the doctor's like, well, prayer is your only opportunity. She went home and called one of her favorite pastors and said to the pastor's wife and said, what do I do? She said, well, this is what I hear from the Holy Spirit. I want you to take communion. Was it 3 times a day or 4?
3 or 4 times a day.
I think it was 4 times a day.
As often as she would take her meds, yeah.
Yeah, 3 or 4 times a day, whatever. She said, every time you take medication, receive communion. And say this in it. 21 days later, she had done that. Faithfully, 3 times a day, speaking faith. And she went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, you don't have cancer in your body.
Completely.
Anyway. Communion. Wait, not grape juice and crackers. Fellowshipping in the way you can know how of Jesus. Whatever the power of this broken bread is, I receive it. And all of the power of your blood, I receive it. 21 days later, she was healed. Wait, what if it took you 48 days? And you didn't get it in 21. Is it worth the blood of Jesus obliterating that stuff from your life? You might get it in 3 days. He is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And I'm starting to preach a new message. And it's time to go. Thank you for being with us. Can I see anybody's comments? Brother Ken Brumbaugh is with us.
Hi, Ken.
Kathy Marie Angaroni's with us.
Elaine,
thank you, Kathy.
Hi.
Who?
So tell Elaine hi.
Tell Elaine hi. Yes, Tanya. Smack Steve upside the head and tell him I love him. That's how bikers treat each other, all right? But it's all in love. Those of you on, did YouTube make it or no?
No. It was on for a while and then it shut down.
All right.
Felicia, Rebecca, God bless you.
Felicia and Rebecca. Hi, Felicia.
Mary,
Felicia, we want to see a picture of you in your cap and gown.
Yeah.
Don't be messing with us now. And there I went, off the internet again.
It's gone?
Is yours gone?
Well, it must be because you're all of a sudden froze. Aww. And Shay Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. That was so exciting.
Yeah.
Back there, we had just gotten done listening to you singing.
We did. We were listening to you sing.
And there you walked in. He was like, hey, there's Shay.
Well, isn't that something?
Wow. Oh, that's because you started up preaching again three different times.
What can I say? I showed that I was on for 42 minutes.
On
YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know how long it was. I don't remember when it started spinning out, but it went.
And Blog Talk.
So do you have to work today? Oh, you do? So are you supposed to be home sleeping? I was going to say.